It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number three, which means it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Remember, get all of your barbecue sauce, rubs, and tailgate wine needs. Visit 409tailgateclub.com. And the listener, deemed with the number one question this week by Ross, will receive a courtesy, a box, tailgate box, courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get some of their sauces and rubs. Do not hesitate to send in your questions. Go to our app, Keystone Sports app. Download it on your phone or device. Go click on it there. Go to the Ask Ross tab. And send in your question. We got plenty of them this week. All right, Ross, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, question number one comes from Sal from Saratoga, right? How do you manage a booth with Shay and Flounders? What kind of meditative?
No, I preferred the way you pronounced it when
said,
you were practicing.
Said the way you said it.
Yeah.
Meat potatoes?
Is that what you said?
What kind of meditative training manuals do you have to read in order to survive? They're just kicking us. Just kicking us. And don't forget, we asked that question.
I think it's a fair question.
What did Bob say last week? It's a fair question.
What did you say last week?
I said, well, the struggle with Ross is you got to make extra, you got to like scooch over.
Hold on. I know who asked this question.
You just got to scooch over because you got to make sure that ego is going to fit. Like,
yes.
I said, that's like the big challenge. I'm always like in a corner, like just barely able to breathe. I said, and I think I said something about the fact that you have to prepare for the verbal war between Andy and Ross because you never know what Ross is going to pick up on a poor Andy.
I know who asked this question, by the way.
Okay, good.
Oh, it's not a real person?
It is. I know the email address. That's scary.
You know Sal in Saratoga?
I do.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. They're lying that it's Sal in Saratoga. Is that what you're saying?
They might be, yes.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that.
Well, the challenges would be, challenges from my chair would be, it's tough when you're so far superior to the people you're working with. Like, I want to give you guys a chance to say stuff, and I want to let you guys chime in, but I just care so much about the listeners. And I want to make sure they're getting the best information. So it's really a delicate balance for me to let you guys chime in enough so that your feelings aren't hurt. Right.
You don't like to show off.
But that, right. Like I want the list, but I want the listeners to get the most value out of it, right? I don't want them hearing Smyrna and hearing, you know, Andy's comments on guys, right? I want them to hear the real comments, like from me. So it's a really delicate balance. The other thing I would say is, a lot of times, Bob actually smells bad because he comes right from working out.
I've cleaned up on that.
So that's a challenge.
The last 6 weeks, I've
that's a challenge.
The last 6 weeks, I've defunct this office.
I thought you slid away not because of my ego, but to help me out so I wasn't sniffing your.
No, it was definitely your
Harrisburg YMCA.
It was definitely the ego.
And then for Andy.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is
officially
this is devolved.
Gone sideways.
And then for Andy, I think everybody already knows how I feel about Andy.
Yes.
So I think I'll just leave it there.
We can just stop right there. I'm good with that. Let's keep going with your questions. Mike in Shillington asks, hey, Ross, let's say Tommy Stevens is healthy all through summer practice, but it's Sean Clifford who is the better quarterback. Who starts the season under center versus Idaho? And in that scenario, if Steven starts, do the other players have anything? Are they thinking anything to themselves? It's a good question.
So I think they're going to play. I think they're going to start and play the better guy. I think if it's a tie or maybe even close, it goes to Tommy Stevens.
I agree.
And that Franklin feels like he's earned that. But in that scenario, I don't know how long Tommy Stevens' leash would be. And I guess I wonder if it's really close, if against a team like Idaho, they even play both. I don't know. I don't think that they would do that, but it's a possibility. I think it is a good question. I still find it hard to believe if he's healthy in fall camp, it's not going to be Tommy Stephens. I mean, there would be – that's a tough one for Franklin.
Yeah. I think when
No, you go ahead, Bob.
I think James is mindful of the fact that he does not, early in the season, want Tommy looking over his shoulder because everyone's seen what Sean can do when he's given a chance, especially throwing the football. And Tommy really is – I don't want to use the word rusty, but I think he definitely needs some time to kind of get comfortable. He has not played a lot of significant football at Penn State.
Correct.
Since 2017. And even then, you know, what are we talking about? He wasn't really playing quarterback. He was playing running back. He was being used as a receiver. So I think James is mindful of that. I think for that reason alone, I agree with Ross. It would have to be Sean would have to take the title in a decisive fashion. And I just don't know there'll be that many reps in scrimmage or that many opportunities for him to do that.
So – I also think Tommy had the opportunity to transfer.
He did.
And he didn't. And it's a fifth-year guy. Boy, that sends that would send a really bad message to any guy thinking about transferring, to any guy thinking about playing a fifth year. I mean, that's a bad message.
And he just brought two recruits in and quarterback recruits in the same recruiting class first time.
Yeah, I think that they got barring an injury or him really struggling, I think they got to give him a chance.
Yeah, and it has to be obvious to the rest of the team that it's either 50-50 or that Tommy's earned the job. It can't be them starting Tommy. And the second part of his question asking, they can't start Tommy if it's clear that Clifford's the better quarterback without anybody saying
no, anything. If it's clear. And I will say this. I remember a couple years ago when there were people that I talked to, some people, that suggested that some Penn State players thought Tommy was better than Trace.
Interesting.
And that
interesting.
Tommy should be playing instead of Trace. I don't think that we've seen any visual evidence that was the case.
Right.
But bigger, stronger arm, faster. I mean, he's got a lot of – I mean, what did James say this week? He's the most physically gifted quarterback he's ever been around.
Yeah, as physically gifted as he's ever been around. He did coach Josh Freeman, who was a first-round pick, by the way, when he was at K-State with, I think, the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yes, it was. You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Go to 409tailgateclub for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 tailgate wine needs. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Remember, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, we're continuing with your questions. This one comes from David in Folsom, California. Given that Penn State is looking for speed and size at the receiver, Zach Kuntz is big and fast, but still undersized at tight end. Any thoughts about giving him some reps on the outside?
Maybe. I think if he's used as a tight end, most of the time he's going to be split out in the slot, maybe even all the way out wide, almost like he is a receiver. I mean, I don't really picture them having Zach Kuntz block all that much. So, he basically is a receiver.
What's the
difference?
That's what Gesicki kind of was, I think, at Penn State. He was, at the best case, he was a hybrid. But, I mean, he wasn't really an inline guy either. And I think that Penn State used him like that. I think that's how they're going to use that.
Gesicki was basically an oversized receiver. You're right.
Okay. Yeah, I do you think they're going to give him any looks on the outside eventually, Bob?
I think he's got a little work to do before that happens. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, let's go to Jesse in Biglerville. He says, James Franklin's in-game management skills at times have been a bit of a weakness for Penn State. In your opinion, give me what you think is the one decision over the past 5 years that you think James might want to redo on?
Oh, man.
That's a pretty impossible question.
That's a very broad
question. There was a timeout thing at Northwestern, I remember, in his first or second year that I was thinking,
I'll just say this. This is a different answer, a different take. I just really did not like him calling timeout to preserve that shutout against Georgia State. I didn't like that. I know that's not what he's trying to say, but that of all the things he could change differently, I don't think he should have done that.
You think he'd probably want to redo on that? You think if he had a redo, he'd call timeout again?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, some of the things that stand out to me, I remember I went to the game, Saquon's don't know if it was his sophomore or junior year, he was returning kicks. They were up like 35-0 on Kent State or somebody, and they had him back to return the first kick of the second half.
Yeah, I think I remember that too. Yeah.
I think I tweeted, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So, I mean, not like it cost him a game, though. You know, you look at some of the bad losses. I don't know if there are specific games. Like Michigan State, the last 2 years, there's got to be something in there, but I don't have a specific coaching.
Yeah, I didn't see anything that stood out.
I don't have a specific coaching move that stands out in those situations.
So, all right, let's keep going. Let's go to David in Lancaster. Hey, Ross, is it more difficult to switch from one side of the offensive line to the other as a tackle or guard? I find that that's a great question. Like,
it's identical.
It is identical.
Yeah. I'd say from left guard to right guard, left tackle to right tackle, I would say is the same. That's what the question is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same. Way. You're really just switching your stance.
Okay.
I will say this too. Certainly in the NFL, there is no longer a difference between left tackle and right tackle. Like if you hear somebody be like, oh, he's a left tackle, but he's not a right tackle, they're just not paying attention.
Right.
Von Miller, Justin Houston. I mean, most of the best guys rush from the right side now. You better have a right tackle that can pass protect and move his feet.
All right. This question comes from Jerry in Arlington, Texas. He says, Ross, what is the best advice you could give Michael Bennett to take the next step to be an all Big Ten offensive lineman offensive lineman and to pursue an NFL career? This is
wheelhouse.
That,
I think I like that question.
This is a good question. I think I would tell him, especially as a center, that you can't possibly put in too much time in terms of your technique and your film study during the week, your preparation. You can't possibly put in too much time to do that. I don't think that that's the case. And I think he probably knows that. But it's very, very important that you go ahead and you put in the time on your technique, especially. He wins with quickness. I would also tell him, don't get caught up in weighing too much.
Right, right.
You know, don't get caught up in being too heavy. That is a good question. I'll give them the winner at the end.
All right. So Jerry in Arlington, Texas, the very last question that we asked this week, 409tailgateclub.com. Tailgate boxes coming your way. Enjoy the sauces and rubs. That'll do it for Ask Ross. Coming up, we're going to close strong in quarter number four. Stick with us from the Labatt Blue Studio. We'll be right back.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.